Turning our attention now to food and cookbooks a little bit, too, as we visit with Wave Kasberzak, who is chef and owner with his wife, Jane. I said June earlier. I'm sorry, Jane. I want to apologize for that. They are co-owners of The Dining Room at 209 Main Street in Monticello, Wisconsin. Monticello. They're celebrating 12 years in business, and they're open Wednesday through Saturday nights from 5 to 9:30 p.m. They were awarded 4 stars by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel restaurant critic Dennis Ghetto several years back. And it'll be 14 years this fall, I believe, since you and Jane opened the doors of the dining room. Is that correct?
It'll be 15 this fall.
15 years.
Yeah, we just turned 14 last September.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is right.
how's it been with this downturn in economy?
It's been pretty darn good, really.
Has it?
Yeah. I don't know if, people are taking the so-called staycation, a little weekend at a B&B and going out for dinner instead of traveling far. But business has been really well.
Well, now, tell us, for those who aren't familiar with the restaurant, tell us about the dining room at 209 Main Street.
Well, we are in Monticello, which is only a town of about 1,700, just 5 miles south of New Glarus. And I'm the chef. My wife, Jane, runs the front of the house, so to speak. Like you said, we're just open 4 nights a week, Wednesday through Saturday. Fine dining with different ethnic influences sprinkled throughout the menu. Quite an extensive wine list, about 140 wines on the list. And even though we're white linens and fresh flowers on the table, we're not a pretentious place. We're very, very comfortable setting.
And people from outside Monticello come visit.
Yeah, absolutely. Our clientele mostly comes from about an hour radius. We pull a lot from definitely the Madison area. Freeport, Illinois is about the same distance from us that Madison is. Janesville, so a destination for sure.
Well, you have a new cookbook out.
Want to say my first, which means I probably have to write a second eventually someday. we just got it in our hands about 2 weeks ago. It is called It Takes More Than a Chef, and it's recipes and some stories of the restaurant about, all the people that really make the restaurant work. There's 98 recipes in there and about 8 or 10 different stories about, how our mothers are involved in our kids, so to speak, and just everyone that really makes the dining room what it is.
And I should also say, and now I'll admit that I'm just now seeing, because it just came out, I've just got a copy and some beautiful photography, which I always like in a cookbook.
Yeah, when I started this adventure 2.5 years ago on the book, I guess we weren't sure exactly what we were going to do as far as illustrations, and we did most of the photography ourselves, taking photos at the restaurant. Another good friend of mine, Doug Whittle, also took some of the staff photos and the action photos, so to speak.
Well, and what's the where is the emphasis placed in the book? What type of food?
It's food that. Recipes that have been on the menu, also recipes that I've used in teaching my cooking classes throughout the years. So if folks are familiar with the restaurant, have been there throughout the years, they may look in there and say, well, I've never seen that on the menu before, and that's because it hasn't been. But it's recipes that have come out of the cooking classes that I teach. But then again, the stories about, like I said, about our kids and our moms and our cooking classes and friends we've made, and so.
Well, it's you have some little blurbs on the back, and one from probably the critic, food critic that I admire the most, Raphael Mnuchin.
Yeah,
who says, still my hands down vote for the most reliable, ambitious restaurant in a Dairyland town you've never heard of. Oh, but that's great.
Yeah, we're really, really excited and really pleased with how it turned out.
If you'd like to join in, by the way, maybe you have a question or comment for Wave about the book or about the restaurant or about preparing food. I hope you'll join in with us today. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. And the email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. And I mentioned the delicious aromas coming here in the studio. What did you bring today?
I brought some Thai curried beef with a daikon salad. So it's got a little bit of spice to it. Some Moroccan spiced meatballs with a dill yogurt sauce and a curried olive relish. And then some dessert items are chocolate tart with raspberry sauce and lemon curd.
Wow. Well, I'm really looking forward to the news break, to our news break here, because everything smells so good. What goes into preparing good food? What are the techniques for preparing good food?
Don't overthink it. Keep it pretty simple. I think sometimes people might think the more high-end, fancy, and more ingredients that are put into a dish, the better it's going to be. But again, I think my philosophy is keep it pretty simple. And I guess over the years, learn and know what flavors work together.
Yeah, and you've certainly managed to do that very, very well. And your classes... You teach. So this is kind of an interesting business plan that you've got here with your restaurant and your talk about how you got yourself organized.
Well, when we originally opened, we opened just the 4 nights a week, which we are still only open 4 nights a week because it was basically a quality of life choice. We love to do things outside of work and have worked in restaurants where you're in management and you were working many, many hours a week. The cooking classes came about, this will be our 12th season, mm-hmm. starting in January, and they have become extremely popular. In fact, we're starting sign up for the classes tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and we tell people to start calling at 4, and in the first hour, about two-thirds of the spots fill. And so they've become really popular. And if anybody's interested in the cooking class roster, they can shoot us an email through our website, which is 209main.com.
209main.com. Mm-hmm. And what kinds of, in the classes, what goes on in the classes?
Well, I do three different styles. I do, the main style I do is just in observing, where the students observe me preparing the food. Mm-hmm. They get recipes. They can... you know, they ask questions and there's a lot of, you know, talk about the food and techniques and whatnot. The second style I do, I call Chef for a Day. Mm-hmm. And that is just four students. And that is a hands-on class. They come in on a Sunday about 1:15 or 1:30. And I have a 6-course menu laid out for them. And they prepare the 6-course menu. So they're in the kitchen for about 3.5 hours. And then at 5 o'clock, Jane shows up, and the students have invited a guest to show up, and the 10 of us sit down to a wonderful 6-course meal. And that one is really, really a lot of fun because there's definitely a lot of camaraderie built throughout the class. And then the third one I teach, this will be the third year, is knife skills. And again, that is a hands-on. All the students get their own knife, and we teach them, me and my sous chef Jimmy, teach them, how not to cut themselves is the main focus is safety, knife etiquette, different knife techniques on cutting different types of food, and...
Sharpening?
Sharpening, absolutely, yeah. So, and that one, That one's just a touch nerve-wracking at times, but it's a lot of fun. I really like doing my classes. I've met so many interesting people throughout and made some good friends through them.
And these run through the year? Or
these are January, February, and March mm-hmm. are our scheduled classes. And then we'll usually do a couple private classes throughout the year where a group of friends will book a class or for a birthday or just a get-together or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And so, in the chef for a day, I assume when they're preparing, you're kind of over their shoulder?
Oh, absolutely. So if someone is making a butter sauce, I'll say, hey, let's all gather around, show how they're doing this. You know, a lot sometimes with some things, if we have time, I'll have them intentionally ruin it. So you say, that's what it looks like when it's... That's what it's not supposed to look like. So a lot of... In the chef for a day, knife skills are for sure a focus, and just different techniques of sauces and preparing different foods.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
Let's turn to Marie in Evansville. Marie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I was just wanting to ask a question. I have been to Monticello a couple times to the farmer's market there,
mm-hmm.
and I was just wondering if you're able to buy any of your ingredients from local farmers.
I do. There is a woman just outside of New Glarus over the past couple of years who has started to grow some produce for us. It's a really neat thing because she'll send me in the winter seed catalogs and say, what do you want me to grow? We get local produce. We get some local meats, some elk and bison periodically. Obviously, being in Greene County, cheese. We get almost all of our cheeses are local. Our bread is baked locally. So, yeah, we do get some local products.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Wave Kasbrzak, our guest today, chef and co-owner with his wife, Jane, of the Dining Room at 209 Main Street in Monticello. He's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today to talk about his new cookbook that he's got out about dining. And if you have some questions about preparing food, I hope you'll join us too. We'll be back right after this quick look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we're talking food today with Wave Kasbrzak, chef and co-owner with his wife Jane of the Dining Room at 209 Main Street in Monticello, Wisconsin. Celebrating quite a few years of experience. In fact, they've been closing in on 15 years. 15 this September.
Yeah.
So it's great to have them him with us once again. He's stopped by a few times, and it's great to have him back to talk about food and his new cookbook. And certainly we're inviting your questions and comments as we move along today about preparing food. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or via email at talk@wpr.org. And before we go, Lynette, hang on there for a minute. Before we go back to the phones, in the 5 minutes that we had for a news break, I tried everything, and it's wonderful. The beef, go back again to that recipe. It was
it's a Thai curry beef, so it's just real thinly sliced beef tenderloin with garlic, red peppers, coconut milk, a little Thai curry paste, some fish sauce, lime juice. It's with a daikon ginger salad.
Oh, it is really good. And your meatballs look and taste great, too. And yeah. I like the what you're using for a sauce with it.
Yeah, it's other Moroccan, call them Moroccan spiced lamb meatballs. Mm-hmm. They've got some cumin, coriander, and parsley, garlic. Then we've got, it's a tzatziki. It's a yogurt, dill, cucumber sauce, and then a curried olive relish with it.
It is absolutely fantastic. And then a lemon curd?
Lemon curd, yeah. I was saying earlier, it's kind of like a custard, but instead of putting cream in it, it's using the actual citrus juice. And then, of course, there's other essential ingredients like sugar and butter and eggs.
But fairly simple ingredients. Mm-hmm. You were talking about simple ingredients. I mean, But it's wonderful. What a
yeah! And actually, that that recipe for the lemon curd is in the cookbook.
Is the recipe for the cake that you
have? Yeah, the chocolate tart that is in there also.
I'm glad. I'll be looking that one up too.
Right.
when I have more time here. Lynette in Hubertus, we'll give you a chance to join in. Thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I would like to make some crab cakes, hors d'oeuvres, for a party this weekend that I am going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if making them ahead of time and then just reheating them in the oven at the host's house and then garnishing them there, if that would be all right, or if they're really going to lose a lot in the transport, cooling down and whatnot. Should I abandon the idea and go for something else?
No. I think that's actually a great idea. Number one, because when you're at a holiday party, then you get to spend more time conversing with the other guests there. So, yeah, what I would do, whatever type of crab cake mix you're going to make, is just sear them in a pan with a little oil so you get, you know, a little brown on the outside on each side, because basically they're mostly going to be cooked through anyway because the crab meat that you use is going to be already cooked. So, yeah, I would brown them on each side just for a few minutes in a sauté pan and then put them in the refrigerator. And then when you take them to the other house, just pop them in the oven and heat them up. That should work just fine.
And I would like to make a yogurt, a Greek yogurt type garnish sauce for it. What would you suggest would be a complimentary flavor to go with that? I've used like a Thai chili sauce in with the yogurt for different types of chicken skewers, those types of things. But I'm wondering how that would complement a crab cake.
Oh, I think a Thai chili sauce would work really well with crab cakes. Absolutely.
Excellent. Thank
you. All right.
You bet.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too, with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's go back to the cookbook for just a minute. Talk about how it's organized.
Well, it's got its different chapters, appetizers, soups and salads, main entrees. The largest chapter is sauces, which I think is kind of my strong point in cooking. So there's a lot of different sauces, reduction sauces, cold sauces. There's desserts. I forget what the other chapters are. You know, I've looked at it 100 times. And then the stories in there. Like I said, there's 8 or 10 stories about how the restaurant started, about cooking classes, about Jane and her love and knowledge of wine. And I think actually probably my favorite one is about our kids. Jane and I don't have any of our own children, but throughout the years of running the restaurant, the majority of our staff are high school kids. So we've found that through the years, we do have the opportunity to put a positive influence on their lives.
So you're kind of a mentor for them too. And
yeah, it's pretty neat. We've got one of our very first bussers that we had hired in the first year of the restaurant had her wedding dinner at the restaurant and brought in her first child, and you know, so they come back to see us, which is a pretty cool thing.
That is very cool. And these sauces, and you're right, your sauces are certainly a strength of your cooking. But and I'm looking at the red wine truffle reduction sauce and the red wine horseradish reduction sauce and the maple bourbon mustard sauce and the pork peppercorn reduction sauce that all look fantastic.
Thank you.
And those are just a few. Apple cider brandy reduction sauce. Now, where would you use that?
That one I used almost exclusively with sea scallops.
Oh.
Yeah, you get that. The flavor of it kind of reminds me of a German potato salad. You've got that sweet from the cider, the the tart from the cider vinegar, and then I'll usually throw a little bacon in there for some smokiness.
And, of course, also some brandy and vegetable oil and a little salt and pepper and, and some possibly some butter.
Yep.
Whoa, that's great. John in Neillsville. Let's go to you now. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Say, I've been listening to your show here, and my question is, I've been trying to make Chinese food taste like Chinese food for quite a while, getting a different sherry and, you know, get the different teriyaki marinades, but there's something about going to a Chinese restaurant, and you got that certain flavor, and I just don't know what it is, and I've been struggling with this for a long time because I love Chinese food, and I'm wondering what's going to give it that Chinese flavor?
Well, that's a great question. I would think, first of all, I guess, what recipes are you going off of, or are you just kind of going off different flavors that you're used to working with?
Well, I'll go into, like, a store and look for teriyaki marinades, Szechuan marinades, and, you know, some recipes. I've got a couple of cookbooks that ask for, like, sherry wine and, you know, fish sauce, and but I just can't get that Chinese flavor.
I would suggest maybe going to some Asian markets, and I know down in Madison there are several that I really like. And you're going to have a little more authentic ingredients there. Some of the ingredients you might find in the regular grocery store might be a little sweet as far as some of the glazes and the marinades. That's probably one thing that would set you in the right direction, I would think.
All righty. Well, I'm going to check out some Asian stores then, and maybe I can get some assistance with that.
All right.
Good. Thanks a lot for calling, John. Paul in Madison, your turn. Hi, Paul.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
By the way, I love your restaurant. We were there when you first opened up a year ago, and it was just amazing.
Thank you.
Wonderful, and I appreciate your efforts. Question about the deer I have yet to butcher, and what do you recommend? I usually keep things simple and throw them on the grill with salt, pepper, keep it medium rare, and my kid asks for it for a birthday meal.
Oh, absolutely. Keeping it simple. And I think mostly with fresh venison, you don't want to, cook it too far. I think then it can usually get pretty dry because it's pretty lean meat. Salt, pepper on the grill, maybe a light marinade of a little olive oil, maybe some, nice easy marinade that I like is, olive oil, a little red wine vinegar and some lemon pepper. That's a real simple one to use. I wouldn't overthink it too much.
No.
Yeah.
And just not overcook it.
Yep. Not overcook
so
it at all.
You don't do pair of sauce or anything as a tenderloin or anything along those lines, or is it?
You could absolutely do a sauce. One that we serve with our beef tenderloin at the restaurant is just a blue cheese cream sauce if you're a blue cheese fan, which is basically pureeing a little blue cheese with milk to make it smooth. Worcestershire sauce, which I love. You could reduce a little of that in a pan and make kind of a glaze for it. Something pretty simple.
Oh, sounds great.
All right.
Real quick, if I may, if you ever get fresh duck and have the wherewithal, a wonderful recipe is to cube the breast, insert a piece of fresh jalapeno, a little piece of cheese, a quarter of a piece of bacon, marinade in Worcestershire and soy, and give those brown that up, and it's amazing.
Oh, that sounds really good.
It does sound good. Thanks,
Paul. At every party I go to, that.
All right, I'm going to give that a try.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it very much. Oh boy, that sounded great. Mm-hmm. Ryan in Milwaukee, we turn to you. Hi, Ryan.
Hi. I was interested in the classes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. With regards to the chef for a day class, I was wondering what the price for that was and how the recipe was chosen.
The price on those is $175, and that includes recipes, the instruction for the day, and dinner for the student and their guest. And as far as the menu, usually with each class, I will come up with a menu ahead of time, but about a week before each class, I'll call all the students and make sure there's no food allergies or severe food dislikes or anything like that. But I try and incorporate a lot of different techniques and styles of cooking. Sometimes we get the smoker going out back and smoke some food, different sauces, knife techniques, stuff like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, thanks.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Thomas emails to say, why Monticello?
That's a great question. Jane and I bought our first home down there, hopefully our last. We love it down there. Let's see, how long ago was that? 17, almost 17 years ago. And at the time, we were both working in Madison restaurants. And there's a little blurb about this in the book, too. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law, Jane's mother, moved down to Monticello shortly after we did and was looking at this building on Main Street and said, I'm thinking about buying that building. Would you like to open a restaurant? And we said, no, we would not want to open a restaurant. And she said, well,
think about it.
We got in the space and the wheels started turning. And she said, give it a year. If it doesn't work, no big deal. Well, here we are almost 15 years later. So.
And things are seem to be working pretty well.
They are working very well, absolutely.
On to Sue in Richfield. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I made a fresh cranberry compote for Thanksgiving. It involved port wine and balsamic vinegar reduction with what the recipe called for was Black Mission figs.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I couldn't find specifically Black Mission figs, so I just used little figlets. And the recipe turned out wonderful. It was great. But I want to make this again for Christmas, and I was wondering, would the Black Mission figs make a difference in the recipe? Is there a difference between little figlets and the Black Mission?
Yeah, I'm sure there will be, but I don't think it's... I don't think it would be enough to make a big difference. I think any type of dark fruit, so to speak, would work well. There's one recipe that I use that sounds real similar, and I use cranberries and raisins, for instance. You know, and in yours, it sounds like the figs are kind of in place of the raisins. So I think either one would work just fine.
Okay, thank you so much.
You bet.
All right, thanks. Excuse me. Thank you very much for calling. And again, you can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Now, this time of the year, I'm invited to, I think next week, we're invited to a Christmas party, and it's one of those where you bring a dish, mm-hmm. but it's an hors d'oeuvre for... And everybody coming is going to bring an hors d'oeuvre of some sort. What are some favorites for you under those kinds of circumstances?
That's actually how we do our family Christmas on Christmas Eve, is everybody just brings food and we eat all day, which is wonderful. I guess one of my favorite things that I kind of like to make is kind of like an antipasto platter with different mm-hmm. cured meats and pickled vegetables and things along that line. Because I think they can absolutely, if you're going to a party, it can look pretty spectacular too.
Yeah, it can look great. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you don't have to worry about heating it up.
Right, absolutely. It'll give you more time to sample the other food.
All right. Katrina in Milwaukee, we turn to you. Hi.
Hello, how are you doing?
Great, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
I disagree with your guest. I think that because for me, the whole time my mom's been cooking and making Chinese food, the one time I've had it, that it actually had that Chinese flavor that your earlier caller was asking about, she added, and you're not going to like this, but she added MSG.
Oh, okay, yeah. That
I know everyone just threw something at the radio. But I'm sorry, but it's the perfect saltiness that goes with the vegetables and the meat.
Uh-huh.
You want a light sauce, and I won't use it. I give up. But boy,
that's a good suggestion. I completely forgot about that because I don't, and I never have used MSG. But in
it's
a lot,
weird. You can buy it in a cute little like seasoning shaker right on your food.
Ah, you're absolutely right, Katrina. I bet that's. That could be the secret ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is an American talk show. We got to hang up.
Oh, thanks, Katrina.
Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much for calling. She could well be that one.
Mm-hmm.
Herb in Milwaukee, on to you.
Oh, I'm good. How are you today?
Great. Thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
What I'm looking for is a recipe for cheesecake that uses baker's cheese and not cream cheese. And I tried to find something on the internet, and I could not. Everything has cream cheese in it. This is a regular graham cracker crust cheesecake that my folks used to make around the holidays, and the recipe is lost to me. And I wish I had that recipe again. Do you have any help there?
As far as basic cheesecake recipe
without cheese, yeah. Without cream cheese.
No,
without cream cheese. It uses baker's cheese, which is sort of it's almost like ricotta cheese or cottage cheese.
Okay. I usually when I make a cheesecake in what is it? Usually a 10 or 11 inch cheesecake pan. Usually about 2.5 to 3 pounds of. If you're going to use whatever type of cheese, baker's cheese or cream cheese, about 6 eggs, sugar, and then kind of whatever flavorings. But that seems to be kind of the basic components of it.
Oh, so like a basic cream cheese cake recipe would work with the baker's cheese?
I think that would work just fine. Yeah, because as long as you have your eggs in there to bind it together when it gets baked, and then if you're going to put vanilla or whatever other type of flavorings in it, I would say that should be
regular granulated sugar to sweeten it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, regular granulated sugar.
Yep.
All right, we'll give it a try. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks Herb for calling. Appreciate it. Someone else emailed in and wondered if you are familiar with a seasoning called Aromat. It's made by Knorr.
I am not.
Aromat. I'm not. Yeah, that's not one that I'm familiar with either. And we have another email coming in as well from Lynn, who wonders if there is a substitute for lemon, which is a bad taste for her husband, who is a cancer patient.
Okay. If it's the acidity of the lemon, you could try different citrus, orange, lime, or lemongrass. Which is used in different Asian recipes. Or there is an herb called lemon balm, which has a real distinct lemon flavor. But I guess I'm not sure if it's the actual lemon itself or an all-around lemon flavor that is unpleasant to him. But if it's the all-around lemon flavor, I would substitute a different citrus,
yeah.
I guess, overall.
Lime could work.
Mm-hmm. Lime, orange.
Okay. That makes some sense. Well, here we are getting close to the end. Your book, you've got how many recipes in this book?
There's 98 recipes in there, and about 8 or 10 stories of the restaurant and how it came to be and all the important people that make it run.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not as hungry as I was at the start of the show because I've chomped down a bit of the wonderful food that you've prepared here, but the book looks just absolutely phenomenal.
Right.
And I'm going to go to these sauces because there are some sauces in there that I really want to try out. And Renee, my wife, she's probably not listening because she can't work and listen to the show at the same time. But we'll be trying out some sauces coming up here. Thank you
so
much.
And if I can just if you're interested in the book, you can go to our website, 209main.com, and there's a cookbook button, and that'll take you to the right page. Also available at Orange Tree Imports on Monroe Street here in Madison, and quite a few businesses in Greene County, the New Glarus Brewery, and several others.
Elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And so the website again is?
209main.com.
209main.com. Press on the cookbook button.
And that'll take you to the proper page to purchase those for all your holiday needs.
Thanks, Wave.
Thank you, Larry.
Wave Kasperzak of the Dining Room at 209 Main Street in Monticello. Thank you for listening.